Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sarva bhutastam atmanam sarva bhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshana. The yogi whose mind is fixed on me verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. He is beyond the mode of passion. He realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme, and thus he is freed from all reactions to past deeds. Thus the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfection, perfect happiness and transcendental loving service to the Lord. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. Purport. A Krishna-conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna, the Supreme, situated in everyone's heart as Supersoul, Paramatma. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshter junatishtati. The Lord in his Paramatma feature is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of the Brahmana. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or in a Brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the supersoul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna-conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti, this is confirmed as follows. Atatvach cha matritvach cha atmahi paramo hari. The Lord, being the source of all beings, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father or Mother is also. Consequently, the Supersoul is always in every living being. Outwardly also, every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord, as will be explained in the seventh chapter. The Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual or superior, and the material or inferior. The living entity, although part of the supreme superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy. The living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in him in one way or another. A yogi sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations according to the results of fruit of work, in all circumstances remain the servants of God. While in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses, and while in the spiritual energy, he serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, the living entity is the servant of God. This vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. So, here then, Krishna is discussing about the yogi. So, yoga means one who's linked, one who's connected to the Supreme, right? So it's yoga, that's the meaning of yoga. It's not just a general term that just kind of means someone who likes eating pretzels or likes looking like pretzels, right? But it's a matter of he's connected to the Supreme, right? Through his action, right? So that action, you have physical action, mental action, and verbal action. So on all these, he's trying to be connected. So here then, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out how the yogi is seeing with equal vision all living entities. Because all living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord. They're all spiritual. According to his particular material desire or spiritual desire, then they are situated differently. But it doesn't actually make them any different. Right? Like let's say people are wearing shoes, but some shoes are walking on the sidewalk, some are in the street, some are in the car, some are on a bicycle, but they're still shoes. It doesn't change the fact of their nature. Right? It's the same way as the soul. It doesn't change the fact of their nature by being situated differently. Right? By someone is situated, you know, in one country, some in another, some in the city, some in the country, some in a rich situation, some in a poor. That doesn't change the nature of the soul. So he then goes on to point out is that the soul is always situated in God's energy. Now he has the superior, the spiritual, or the inferior, the material. But in either case, he's situated within the Lord's energy. There's no question of separation of the soul and God. The difference is in the superior, he's engaging directly in the Lord's service, while in the senses are engaged directly, while in the inferior, or the material, his senses are engaged indirectly. It's the Lord's energy, it's the Lord's potency by which we can engage in activities. But why we call it material is because we don't see the connection with God. That's the point. The activity basically is the same, but the consciousness is different. One sees truly and one doesn't. Right? So here then Krishna is pointing out is the perfect yogi, then he sees equally. So he doesn't have a problem dealing with one person or another. He understands that just the conditioning is different, so therefore they situate themselves differently. But the nature of the soul is the same. Okay. Then we also have the aspect that the Lord is sitting in the heart of the living entity. And so that also doesn't change because of the situation, right? So example is given just like the mother has so many children, but she looks upon them all equally. She has affection for all of them, no matter how they're situated. You know, one of the children is very, you know, wealthy and like that. Another one is not. Another one is doing different kinds of work, somewhat like this. It doesn't matter. So in the same way, the Lord is sitting in the heart. And therefore, being able to see the living entity and being able to see the Lord, excuse me, then he is always connected to the Lord. The idea is that when the living entity finds himself connected with the Lord, everything works nicely. But if he's not connected, then there'll always be a difficulty. Right? The difficulty comes up is that not seeing our connection, then there's always that sense of trying to find what is the value, what is the worth of something. People will say money's valuable, so one will work for it. One gets it, nice. One doesn't get it, one's upset. But even if one gets, he finds with time, it doesn't actually make one happy. Right? Money can buy things. Money can create situations. But that's the limit of what it can do. It's still up to you to do something with those things and situations. Right? You don't do something with them, you don't become happy. Right? This is the important thing. So with time, we find that whatever is said to be important in this world, having money, having position, having facility, it still comes down to what you do with it. It itself will not generate anything. Let's say you have a car, nice car sitting in the driveway. That itself doesn't generate any happiness. You have to do something with it. Right? Right? So unless there's you and others interacting, it won't do anything. It just sits there. It's dead matter. But the soul is not dead matter, right? The soul is conscious. So the soul is what it is that we're looking at to try to see the connection between ourself and the Lord. We're eternal, the Lord's eternal. But the matter around us, it's not. It's temporary. And so it has limited value in as much as what you can do with it. Right? Does that make sense? It doesn't... It's not that the thing itself does more or does less. It's what you do with it. So then, next verse, and Krishna says, "For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me." So that at this stage, then, the living entity is able to see Krishna everywhere, and therefore he's always in contact with the eternal. So one's position, one's happiness, everything is also on that platform. The difficulty with the material energy is its temporary manifestation. So everything here, it's manifest only for a certain length of time. So that's not very satisfactory to the living entity who's eternal. Right? We want to be happy. We want to be happy eternally. No one wants to be happy temporarily. Right? We want to be happy eternally. So that comes up as a difficulty. So when we connect ourselves that our value is the material nature, there'll always be this difficulty. But if one connects oneself with the Supreme, then because we're eternal, and the Lord's eternal, then that position is eternal, right? And that happiness gained from that interaction, that's eternal. Right? Then there's no problem like that. Any questions on this? Something? No? Yes.
Maharaj, they often speak about this be present principle nowadays. Can you explain what's the Vedic viewpoint of this be present, living in the moment?
Okay, working in the present. See, the mind, the definition by, you know, of Gotama, of the mind, is that the mind is that instrument through which you can focus on one thing at a time, right? All the senses are working at once, right? Ears are hearing, eyes are seeing, skin is touching things, right? You're smelling things. All this is going on at one time. But the mind makes it that you only see, only focus on one of them at a time, right? So that's the principle. You can only focus on one thing at a time. So now, if we're dealing with something, we have a field that we're working in, right? There's a field of action in which you perform an activity or a situation, right? So the situation's already there. It's from the past, right? Previous work has situated where you are presently. What you want to gain is in the future, right? So the difficulty comes is that the mind can only work in one place at a time. If you work in the future, you won't be doing the activity that will get you the future, right? And if you're situated in the past, then you also won't be doing anything to generate a result. So unless you work in the present, then only you can get a result. Difficulty is that persons either desiring the result and the you know, the enjoyment or the happiness that they'll get from gaining it, they're already trying to get that before they have it, right? You're thinking, if I have this, then I'll be, you know, it'll be so nice, this will happen, that'll happen, my friends will say this, and I'll be able to do so many things. But while you're thinking that, then since the mind can only do one thing at a time, it's in the future. It's not in the present. So you're not doing anything to actually get it. Does that make sense? So then that's why many times you don't get it. Even though you're desiring it so much, you're not getting it. Why? Because you're not doing the activity to get it. Because the activity to get it is happening in the present. Right? The past won't get it. The future won't get it. The present is the only thing that will get it. Does that make sense? So the idea is that one has to work in the present. Now, to do that then means that one has to have knowledge, right? Because the field, to work in the present means you're not focused on the field, you're focused on the operation of the field, right? So that field, you have to have knowledge of what it is before you start, right? So when you look, analyze the field, you can see what it is that can be accomplished by doing what, right? Then, and what you are, you know, then you can apply it and do the activity, right? So you have to have knowledge, right? So from the path, from the situation of the path, you get knowledge. And from the future, you know where it's going, but you can't be emotionally absorbed in that future, right? So that means to do that, you have to act on the principle of, I'm performing this activity without the emotional involvement of desiring the result, right? I can only be active in the performance of the activity that gets the result, right? So I'm still able to see the result, but I'm not emotionally involved. And I can still see the path of the field, but I'm not emotionally involved. So that means action has to be performed without actually being emotionally distracted by the future or the past, right? Like that. Then the activity will be efficient. It will actually get you something. Difficulty comes is that because of attachment, then we get distracted so easily. So if we understand the higher principles that are at work, that of knowledge, the soul elevating themselves to the transcendental platform, the nature of the Lord, then it becomes easier to function where one can act without becoming emotionally involved, right? Because, yeah, does that make sense? So because when the result, if we see it in connection with the Lord, then we're not bound by the reactions of it. Because when we do get it, because it's in the future, as we perform, if we're working within the present, the activity is being performed. So that will bring us closer to the point when the future becomes the present. You understand? Means I want this goal, so that what's separating it is time. But as we perform the activity, the time becomes less and less until that future is the present, right? And then that present will immediately move into the past, right? Because the present basically is a moment's length. It's not longer than that, right? So it'll move into the past. So now, as we mentioned, is that functioning in the future, in the past, emotionally, then that will impair our dealing and our emotions in the present. Does that make sense? So that would mean one would have to function always with knowledge and always with the detachment to the result. Right, because now that you have the result, that changes the field. So now what can you do with that field that will get your next result? Right? Isn't it? You want a house, so you work to get the house. But once you have the house, now that's part of the field. It's no longer a goal. Now it's part of your field. Now what are you going to do with that house? Now that's the next thing. And then let's say you want to have a party, invite over friends. So that's a goal. So you make arrangements. Then you get it, and then it's in the present. And then it moves to the past. Now you're the guy who has nice parties at your house. That's the field. Now what are you going to do again? So this element, what is being presented in Gita is how to be a yogi at all times. How one can always be absorbed in seeing yourself, seeing the Lord, seeing the material energy, and seeing how we can be connected to the Lord at all times. So whatever we're doing works on the physical material platform, but at the same time it also works on the spiritual. Otherwise, then the action doesn't change whether you're doing it in spiritual or material. Right? Does that make sense? if you're God conscious and you go somewhere and pay money and buy the house, or you're not God conscious and you go to the same place and pay the same money and buy the house, the action doesn't change. What changes is consciousness. So what Krishna's here's meaning is the consciousness changes in the yogi. Not necessarily, it's not specifically the activity that's changing. The consciousness changes. So because when the consciousness changes, one is actually able to develop spiritual benefit from the activity that one's performing, as opposed to just material. Does that make sense? But that's happening in the present, not in the future or the past. Does that make sense? Yes.
My mind has this habit of going to the future very quickly whenever we have some idea, some thought, and you want to implement it. But before we start implementing it, the mind already goes to the future and thinking about the results.
Yes, no, it will do that. That's but what we're talking about is when you perform the activity. Right? Could you hear? So he's saying is that when you're thinking about something, you have a plan. You want a result, so the mind immediately goes to the future, what you'll gain from it and everything like that, right? So what is that a problem? No, because that then defines that you are comfortable with the goal, because unless you want the goal, why will you act, right? But the point is unless you, how will you know the goal is obtainable unless you know the field, right? Does that make sense? The field, okay. You want something to eat, right? So where do you go, the refrigerator or the washing machine? Okay, so that means you have to know what the field is. Then when you get to the field and you open the refrigerator, then there's so many things there, right? So you see what's there, right? Looking at things that are not there is not going to get you any result. You can only get a result from, that's your field, so that's the only place you can get the result is out of that refrigerator. Right? Can't open yours and take something out of your neighbor's refrigerator. It'd be nice, good theme for a movie, but it doesn't happen. Okay? So you look at what's there, then you become inspired that yes, that item would be what I'd want. Right? And then you'll think, yes, with that then I'll be happy. Right? But now you can't be thinking about how you're going to be happy when you reach for it in the fridge. Otherwise, you'll miss it, knock things over, and stuff like that. So you have to be in the present when you actually reach for it. So you can't be attached to what you're going to do with it when you're actually performing the action. But unless you were inspired by the result you can get, you won't perform action. Right? The mind goes from thinking about something, which means, you know, what's there. It becomes inspired. Then there's feeling, means then there's that you attachment, what will be the result. Then only there's willing when it will perform the action. So it'll go from the past to the future and then back to the present. The point is the action is performed in the present. Is that okay?
In addition to this question, mind has the ability to go in the past.
Yes. It goes into the past, and then? It goes into the past again and again. There it's because there's something of the past that it felt would make one happy, right? And so the idea is that there's some shelter there, because also in the past is, your field at present is based on the past, you know? By past situations and what you've done in those situations is your present situation, right? So if you like the present situation, great, then you'll be looking at the present. If you're not, you don't like it, then you'll be looking at the past. But by emotionally involving yourself in the past, that doesn't change the present. So therefore, it doesn't change what will be the field you're working in. Does that make sense? So if you look at the past, it has to be from the viewpoint of gaining understanding. Then if the past was, you consider it was better, so what was the action in the past, farther past, that got the past that you're interested in? You know what I'm saying? So then that activity is what you have to do with the present field to move it in that direction, right? So the manifestation of the particular material energy may not be able to be obtainable. right? Because things get old, they fall apart. So the same thing, the same combination of material elements you may not find again. But you have to analyze from the past, what is that? What actually is what made you happy, right? So let's say, okay, there's the old home and the whole family was there and everything was really nice and, you know. So, but what was the element that was nice? Was it the security? Was it nice interactions? You know, was it just the situation was comfortable? What was it that was about that past that was important? You know what I'm saying? So that principle, that's what you try to get at present. It's not that now by going back to your old house, even though other people live there, and, you know, half of it's fallen down, the other half they've changed into something else, and that tree you used to climb in all the time has gotten old, and they've cut it down, and, you know, they put in a bird bath there. That's not going to make it work. What it is if it was the security, or it was the nice exchanges between the individuals, or whatever it is, that's what you have to work on at present with the present situation, because the past is gone, right? But you know that, okay, a bunch of people are living together and cooperating very nicely, therefore it was comfortable. So that means in my present situation, whatever people I'm with, if I cooperate with them, I can generate the same experience. Does that make sense? So we should see is what's the principle, why we're thinking of the past. Because the situation is just the situation. As we said, situations don't do anything. Situation means it just sits there. You do something, right? Does that make sense? So thinking of the past situation, it's not the situation, it's what was going on. What were the people doing? That's what you're attracted by. So if you do that now, it'll generate the same thing, right? Means in the past, there was a bunch of wood and I had some matches and I lit the match and the wood started on fire and it was warm and comfortable, right? That wood and those matches are gone, right? But, you know, present day, you take matches and wood, you light it, you get fire, you'll be warm. It's the same thing. The principle doesn't go away. The detail does, but the principle never goes away. Does that make sense? Yes.
So there's many different yogi traditions, right? And some, they focus on the tip of the nose to be in the present moment. And so what's the best in bhakti yoga to be present in this moment and experience the moment?
By understanding who we are and who God is, that's the... Because everything else, relationship means there's two entities, right? Means you can expand on that, there can be three, but there must be two, right? So that activity that's performed between them, that consciousness that's there, that makes the quality of the relationship, right? So if one understands who one is and who God is, to that degree, then that quality of relationship is there, so therefore that focus and all that's better. So the more one understands, then the better the quality. But this understanding is not theoretical, just like a relationship with a person. It's not based on how much theory you know, but how much you actually apply yourself to the interaction, right? You have a friend, and the more you apply yourself to, you know, doing the activities of a friend, that's what generates the depth of relationship. If you just know what it means to be a friend, you go out and buy a book on friendship and read it very much, it doesn't mean because you've read it you've improved the quality of relationship, because that's knowledge. So we say that knowledge, which is from the past, has to be applied to the present to generate that particular experience or quality you're looking for. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the more we understand who we are, the more we understand God, and then apply that in direct service, then the better the quality of the relationship. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
More or less this question, a little bit same situation like Arjuna had when he had his excitation of the moment.
Okay. So then?
His situation, the question was little bit in that sense same, that he didn't know exactly what was his present situation, that he
well, yeah, yes, yes. So, I mean, just, I'm not sure, is it just a comment, or you want to take this somewhere, or?
Well, I mean, if you can maybe say something like, comparing to that situation.
Oh, comparing to Arjuna's situation.
Yes.
Okay, okay. So, Arjuna, he's on the battlefield. He's there because of the, you know, enmity between the cousins, you know, that are all brothers of the same dynasty. So Arjuna and his brothers don't mind sharing it with everybody, but the other set of brothers, they only want it for themselves, which is interesting because the Pandavas are only 5, they're willing to share it with 100, but the others are 100 and they're not willing to allow 5 more to be there. So, you know. So his idea is that by removing those inimical cousins, then the obstacles to their peaceful living or happy living then will be obtained. So as a warrior then, and being on a battlefield, you know, it's his comfortable position, his natural position. So that itself's not a disturbance for him. That there's going to be fighting, there's going to be war, that's not an anxiety. But then what he understands is that he's wanting that removal of the cousins, and he's thinking it will only be that. But then when he looks at the battlefield, then he notices that if he would win the war, all the people that he would want to share that, you know, now peaceful kingdom with are also on the battlefield. So not only will his obstacle be removed in the battle, but also everybody he would want to share the results or the victory with are also on the battlefield. So that means then that future that he would see as his position of happiness or satisfaction would also be lost in the process of getting rid of what he feels is an obstacle. So then he decides then he wouldn't fight. And then the idea of not fighting is again the same principle, but if I don't fight, then all those people I would want there to be in the future wouldn't be killed. So therefore I would be happy. But then the problem is then the people that are making his life miserable now are still there. And not only that, because he's a warrior, and if he doesn't fight, then they'll say he's a coward. They'll say, the reason he didn't fight is not because you were so worried about all the friends and relatives, but that you were actually afraid of us, your enemy. And so, therefore, that's why you didn't. So, that way also, that if he didn't fight, the situation generated, he also wouldn't be happy with. So for him is that, you know, the past situation isn't good, the present situation won't be good, and the future won't be good. So therefore, doesn't know what to do. So then Krishna's pointing out to him is that there is what you want to do, and then there's also what you're supposed to do. So doing what you want to do, that's nice if it's in line with what you're supposed to do. But if what you want to do is not in line with what you're supposed to do, then even though you get what you wanted to do, it's going to have reactions in the field of what you're supposed to do. Right? You know, like the guy would like to, you know, after work go out with his friends and just hang out and come back whenever he would like at night and have a good time. But then that's going to create a problem with what he's supposed to do is going home. His family had, you know, things to do and engagements, and they had also an arrangement and all that. And so that won't work nicely. So even though he got this temporary happiness there, which is something with friends you can kind of generate any time, but it will have created a big problem with the family because then he's not regular, he's not stable, he's not, their sense of security is lost, their sense of worth is lost, and so then it's not going to make a favorable condition. But if you work within what you're supposed to do, then you're supposed to take care of family and friends, so you find out how to balance the two. So in other words, you're able to create that balance. So Krishna's pointing out that actual balance comes not just by knowing expertise of duties, which is higher than just whimsically doing whatever you like, but it also requires the knowledge of the soul, God, and the world, so that you can balance the need of the soul that's beyond the material. Right? Because otherwise, even if you materially make everything perfect, then the problem is one dies. And the soul, somehow or another, doesn't really appreciate that. You know, it's not one of those things you look forward to. So that's the difficulty, is that the soul doesn't want to die because the soul is eternal. So the soul doesn't die, the body does. And we're attached to the body because of that identification or association. So as one develops that spiritual understanding of the nature of the soul, then one goes beyond the material. So the performance of duties becomes fine because you have to do something to interact, right? So it's like, okay, the boy wants to show affection to the girl, so he buys her some flowers, right? That works. Now, if he bought her a new titanium carburetor, it might work, it might not. You know, if her father runs a Harley shop, she might be in ecstasy. But if she doesn't, but if that's not the case, she may think it's a bit weird, right? So there's set methods on how things work. But it's not the flowers that are important. It's the expression of the emotion that the flowers are the medium for, right? The flowers are just a medium for that expression. But emotion is expressed through the things and action, right? So that's the only important. So when we say that the situations aren't important, it's what you do with them, but even what you do is only important in as much as it generates a result that expresses something. Right? That's the point, is that things and action are only important in as much as their ability to express what it is you actually want to get done, right? So by knowledge, you know what activity gets what result, so that the result you want, you actually get. Because if you don't have knowledge, it may not work, you know? So you have the proper knowledge, so you have the skill, and you have the proper attitude, so then you can get what you're looking for, right? So, but the thing is even that has the temporary element. So one shouldn't overlook that aspect also, that in the efficiency of moving from being inefficient in dealing with material energy to being efficient in working with material energy, one should not overlook the soul and the relationship of the soul with God, because that's where the eternal platform can be obtained. So you balance all this. Like that. In other words, the activity is done with the proper knowledge, the proper consciousness, and the proper consciousness of the Lord. Then the whole thing starts to work. Right? So that's what Arjuna was leaving out. So at the end, he's still fighting. The battle still happens. So he doesn't change his position or change sides or change anything. But what has happened is he's changed his consciousness to involve the God conscious element. And so that's then what makes it perfect. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Hey, something else? Huh? What is the time? Okay. We're okay with the time. So now it's for the next program. Okay. So now we will move on to the next program. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Yeah.